You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And good morning, and welcome to another iteration of A Biblical Response. Now, the name should tell it all, but because we had a call last week that we really had to take after the program because of the timing, and the caller was very concerned about what this program does, that we speak to the church about getting involved in the culture and getting involved in politics. So it struck me today, and I know Keith's going to follow up, and maybe even Ann with some comments. Although first, having mentioned their names, I must, before I go any further, welcome to the program two of the three co-hosts, of the program. Stephanie, by the way, is not with us today. She's traveling, so we pray for her.
We miss you, Stephanie.
We do, and do travel mercies for you and God's blessing as you serve Him and in the peculiar way you've been called to serve Him. And we're so thankful that you said yes to God. But I have Keith Masters here.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, brother.
Good morning.
It is. Keith is always in the Word. He's always writing stuff.
No.
Yeah, he's got this notebook, and he's got notes.
I've got to send you some
as
more notebooks.
Lord,
you know.
Needs. No, I've got it. I'm still going to.
You're still,
yeah,
you're good?
Yeah,
because I've,
yeah,
I've got a whole forest set aside to,
yeah,
be cleared.
Well,
you know.
Thank you.
But no, it's amazing. I really... It's something I don't do, and I wish I try to do journaling, and it sticks for a few days, and then I don't do it anymore. But oh well. And Ann Limhoko, it's always good to see
good
you.
Good morning. I'm good so morning. Happy to be here.
It's a great morning,
yeah,
and what do you always say? You might as well go ahead and say it.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Amen.
Let
Amen.
Us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
You,
so,
you know, real fast. You know, in one of my encouragement messages that I was listening to, they say that you should say that before you even get out of bed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You should say that to yourself before you get out of bed.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Yes. Let me rejoice in it and be glad.
Amen.
In it.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I believe
Put yourself into the rejoicing.
Yes.
Thinking that's the Holy Spirit
listeners.
Move.
Yes.
Truth.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then if, you know, the skies are bright and cheery, or if they're overcast, doesn't really matter, because that's not the day that I'm getting into. I'm getting into the day of the Lord.
Right.
This
Amen.
Is the day.
And it's not about the
and
weather.
This is after
it's about
we thank Him.
Exactly.
Right.
To breathe one
right.
more day.
And
to
this
live.
Is
yeah.
right after the grace that He gives us to breathe that day.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank Him first for that.
Well, what I was going to do, because I want to share again the vision of this program, and that is to look at issues that are in the news. Not all the issues, obviously, or we'd be here for a week.
That's why I think the show should be longer.
It should be longer. Yeah, well,
I've said that more than once. I think.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I tend to agree with you, but we have certain limitations.
It's a good program.
It is a good program, and we also know that there are many brothers and sisters out there that are a little resistant to thinking about the church being involved in politics. But here's the thing, and first of all, that attitude is not biblical. I'm going to just say that right up front. I'm going to give you some biblical references. But when I read these specific citations to you, I want you to understand that these aren't the only two points in the Word of God where God is calling His people out into the world. You know, God did not make His people to hide out and to avoid bringing His word into the culture that we live in. In fact, just the opposite. And Jesus is very much into that. All the four Gospels show us clearly Jesus sets the example. He is always out there bringing the word. And because of that, yes, He's being challenged. He's challenging the government. He's challenging the leaders. And those that don't embrace God's truth try to do him in one way or the other. And that's pretty much typical for anybody who's serving God at any point in human history, and certainly today, is if you go out in the world with the Word of God as we've been given as the church and share it, especially speaking into places of great darkness in our culture where evil is abounding. Yeah, there are people doing evil. They're not going to like that. And they're going to come at you whatever form, from yelling at you for doing that to maybe trying to take your life and everything in between. And we've seen all of that today. So having said that, I want to read to you first from the fifth chapter of Matthew. It begins verse 11. It runs through the 16th verse. Now, most of this you're familiar with, and we've even quoted it here on the air before. But I want to start. This is, again, the Sermon on the Mount is that part of that scripture. And Jesus starts now in verse 11 of Matthew 5. He says, "Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so men persecuted the prophets who were before you." And if you go back to the Old Testament, the prophets, the persecution of the prophets always began when they went to the kings who were doing evil, their leaders, the leaders of their day, and brought the word of God and God's word as judgment to them. And of course, some, like David, Nathan came to him, right? Mm-hmm. And he heard and repented when Nathan chided him and brought the word of God to him concerning his sending Uriah the Hittite to be killed so that he could legally marry Bathsheba, who was already carrying his child. So, again, already we know from Old and New Testament that when you go, as you must with the Word of God, into the public sphere and challenge leadership that is ungodly, okay, well, those things can happen. But the fact that they do happen does not give us permission to avoid doing that. We mm-hmm. must be out there speaking against the culture.
Yes.
So why? Then he says, he gives the reason why, because of who we are in Christ. He says, "You're the salt of the earth." You're the salt. Salt is a very significant spice back then. It made horrible food taste great. It also preserved
the food.
It's a very good preservative.
Before fridges.
Yeah, in my early days of my cooking, I used salt a lot, I want to tell you. "But you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its salt and the saltness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men." You know, today now, the church is the salt of the earth. But if we're not the salt of the earth, there's judgment in that. Then he says in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Again, this is a command of Jesus, not a suggestion, to his disciples, of whom we are a part. And if you're a listener, if you're a Christian, then you're also a disciple of Christ. We are then to take, to be the salt and the light in the world, and that takes us right into the center of our culture. And what is in the center of our culture is where decisions are made.
Mm-hmm.
And where those decisions that are godly, we support those. Those decisions that are not godly, we have to bring the Word of God against them and speak to that.
When you're done, I have a lot to say about this,
okay,
but go ahead.
This may take up the first part.
And I know Keith is... Yeah, holding the mic, ready to go.
What I'm doing is building. And now Keith is going to also
but this
put.
Is,
let me finish.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, let me
I'm
just,
sorry,
I've
David.
Got, I'm on a roll here.
I'm sorry, David.
That's okay. No. I know we're all. This is all a very important topic to us. But and again, and this is the last challenge or charge Jesus gave his disciples before he ascended, and this is at the end of Matthew. And they were the 11 apostles, actually. There were more than about 120 disciples. We see this again in the book of Acts. First chapter, the same scene is repeated where before Jesus ascends to the Father, he gives his charge to his church. And he says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, that first sentence, he's transmitting to them his authority. He's not just telling them to stroke his ego, right? He says, well, I'm going to heaven and I got all his authority. No, he's telling them he's going, but they're staying, and they have his authority. Because in the next sentence, the next verse, it says, go therefore. So verse 18, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, meaning you go under that authority. And what do you do when you go? You make disciples of all nations. That's the first thing. All nations. Well, that doesn't mean you and I have to go to every nation on the planet. But as the church is sent out to the nations that they can get to, the nations they are called to, it may be, for in my case, I live in the United States, and that's my nation, and more particularly, apart from the radio ministry where it goes all over the world, I live in Palm City, Stewart area, and that's my geographical nation, okay, is that's where I live, where I do most of my ministry. But I'm going there, and I'm making disciples of the people. I'm seeking to do that. Well, when you do that, you have to bring the truth and the word of God to them. You have to do what God tells you to do and what he says to say. And that goes strikes right at the heart of the communities we find ourselves in. Because, again, the word of God must apply to everything and to the people, the leaders, what's going on. Because we don't evangelize people in a vacuum. Everybody we meet is living in a certain culture, a certain place, and that life is being impacted on by a lot of things, including decision making. And if you're living right now in L.A. or other major cities in America where there are in many of those places riots, that's impacting on your life. And God has a word for that, too, and needs his people to go out and speak the word to the, what do you call it, truth to power, that wonderful phrase. Well, it's actually a good one to use here. So then, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, all that I have commanded, which includes what he said in the beginning, go forth, right? He commands us to go into our culture and speak his truth. And lo, I'll be with you always to the close of the age. So he's going to be with, he is with us. He sent his Holy Spirit, as he promised to the church after his ascension, to enable us to be the church, which means essentially to do everything he told us to do and to do it faithfully. And so I'm just going to bring all this back to we firmly believe here that what we are doing is exactly that. This is part of God's ministry involving us here and what we bring to bear in these broadcasts and the encouragement to do what God is calling the church to do. And for everybody listening, examine your motives. Examine your life in Christ. Examine your decision-making when it comes to these basic and fundamental commands from our Lord and Savior. Now, I'm taking up enough airtime, I know.
No, and
Keith, go.
Huh?
Keith, you could go.
Keith, you want to jump in on that?
Well, I would just, you know, it's amazing. And here's how the Spirit of God works, because David, you came in this morning that you said that the Spirit of God put something on your heart to share.
Yeah.
And I as soon as I got into this and I heard you, I said, you know, God at work, the Spirit of God put the same thing on my heart, only with different scripture.
Right.
And the scripture that he put on me was Proverbs 1, to gain wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, because that's where Proverbs 1 is. And it's about gaining wisdom, gaining knowledge of the Word of God, and that it applies. Don't forget, the Word of God applies to every part of your life. And Proverbs is just the instruction right away. Every day of the month, you have you read a proverb. Proverb 1 for the first day of the month, Proverb 2 for the second day of the month, so on and so forth, all the way up to Proverbs 31. If there's not 31 days, then you read in the 30th day, you read two proverbs. But This is the guidelines that God gave us for our life, along with the rest of Scripture, which is the Word of God, to stay in the Word of God. If you look at the letters from John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, it speaks about love. It speaks about the love of God that he has towards us, and that if we are in the light, that we love God and we love our brothers in Christ. Mm-hmm. That's what 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John are all about. It's about loving your brother in Christ. And it says if you don't love your brother in Christ, then you don't know God. So we can to understand that God's word, and this is a journey. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. Mm-hmm. And we have emotions, and the devil wants us to live by our emotions. God wants us to live by his truth.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm not going to say I've never been angry, because that's a lie, right? Mm-hmm. I've been angry before, but it's a learning process to not, you know, to come away from that, going into God's word. And to learn, and I'm not going to say that, what was just on my mind.
Okay, thank you.
Right, but no, so this is what God has put on my heart this morning coming into the program, was to get understanding, to get wisdom. And, you know, God says, above all, get understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Above all,
yeah.
Get understanding. You know, wisdom and knowledge is the fear of the Lord. So,
what do you say? How do you define understanding for our listeners?
Understanding,
you're telling them to get understanding,
right? To study Scripture,
okay?
Right, to meditate on the Scripture, to understand the Scripture, and then as that, because God, who is God? God is love, right? It says in 1 John, right? God is love. So we need to love our brothers, and then what does it also say? It says pray for our enemies, and. I was going to turn a little bit into, and it's not about politics. It's about who's representing. President Trump has put in a office of faith, right? That an evangelical woman is the leader of that office in the White House. So that faith is in the office, is in the White House. President Biden, on the other hand, on the day that they decided was a day of gay identity or something, on Easter, when he was in the office, he decided to celebrate that way.
Transgenderism.
Transgenderism. Yeah. That's an abomination to the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to piggyback on that
because
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
David started the program basically reiterating the reason why the Lord gave this idea to create this show during such a time as this, because it's just such a perfect time under this administration. If we as a church continue to not speak up against the culture of the day, then we're going to be silent on things that the Lord needs us to speak up on, and then the world is going to take over the culture. And if we don't speak up, it's so evident. Every week we bring up a different subject, and this week we're going to bring up two different subjects. We're going to talk about the Kings, the No Kings riot, which No Kings is just doesn't make sense for me when they say No Kings. And then also we're going to talk about the Simone Biles and Riley Gaines Twitter spat, okay? And that was over gender ideology. Every week we bring up something different. If the Christian is really, really understanding, as Keith said, you could see our world is getting worse. And if we don't speak out and shine the light against this culture, then it's going to keep getting worse. We, as a church, have the Holy Spirit in us. And then David said that we are the salt and the light. Mm-hmm. We have to be the salt and the light against the culture. And if we don't speak up, then what happens? They're gonna take over the culture, and we have to be the salt and the light. It's so evident to me, isn't it?
Well, you know, Daniel 2:21, it says that he changes to God. Now, God changes times and seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings, right?
Okay. Uh-huh.
People seem to forget that because of all the technology, and we're in the year 2025. God is still alive, and God is the one who put President Trump into office, and God is the one who puts everybody in office. God is directing. He's directing the entire universe.
And I believe that the reason why we have the administration now, okay, is because the church has cried out, interceded. After the years that we had with Biden and the evil that we that was displayed, the church got on its knees, and the church is waking up. Is the church completely woken up? I think we're in the process of waking up. But now is the time to stand up. Now is the time. I mean, Trump, people are out there complaining about what Trump's doing, but they don't know that Trump was giving was given a mandate with the numbers that he received in the election. He received 77.3 million votes, so almost 50% of the national vote. He has a mandate to do what he's doing, but then when you see people in the No Kings rallies or the riots, they overshadow. But the majority,
the judges trying to stop what he's trying to accomplish.
In this country agree with the direction that our president is moving this country right now.
Amen. Yeah. And the other thing, we're going to go to a break here in about 30 seconds, but the other thing to mention is we've had, some people have said that we talk about Trump too much. Well, okay, here's the deal. He is the president of the United States, and because we're focusing on issues that are happening in the culture, and many of those issues have political roots, and many of those roots go right back to the you know, the issue of who's in charge, and he is at the top of the heap, if you will. I mean, he's the executive, he's the chief of the executive branch of government. And that, yes, a lot of these news articles, we're only talking about them because they are in direct response to who is the president of the United States right now.
Yeah.
And then you look back into the culture and where this stuff's coming from, and the church needs to be speaking right into that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're going to hear a lot about
our president.
Our president.
Yeah.
And the scriptures also call us to respect the authority of all those who are over us in government.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, some, for instance, it doesn't tell us to support demonic works.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have to make that clear. And we speak about that to the church, into the culture, where demonic works are linked to decisions made by government.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's always going to happen. But, yeah, and someone also asked, do we support him? Well, again, Scripture calls us to support whoever is leadership over us.
And I'm going to support policies that is reflected in the Bible that he's instituted.
Amen.
So
yes, godly
I support
policy.
A lot of what he does. And, you know, you look at the president before, no, I'm sorry. And it's President Trump, and the Lord is using him.
Yeah, exactly. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Welcome back from that first break, which I'd give you a warning. If you want to stick with us and you maybe have some other quick things you need to do down the road at about 11:40, we're going to take a 2.5 minute break, I think. Piece of music, anyway, that you're going to enjoy. Two minutes and 58 seconds. So just to say, if you want to plan that in, you know, to your calendar or whatever, it's fine with me.
I'm going
to
run to the fridge.
You're going to run? Okay, run to the fridge. Yeah, I might get another cup of coffee. Who knows? One of the things that's been in the news we've seen in connection with the riots in many of the LA and many of the major cities is this movement called No Kings. Now, this is significant, and it's significant because it seems to emerge out of I'll tell you how it started. Before we could talk about the No Kings movement and what they stand for. And by the way, everything I'm referring to is from the websites for
nokings.org.
If you want to go there yourself, and I recommend you do, to read about who they are, what they're about, what they're planning, and what they want their people to do. But before I go there, the genesis of No Kings emerges, and this again from my online research, and I encourage you to do the same. You can type in, as I did, about No Kings, and then I asked, how did it get started? And it referred me to a Reddit post in January of this year. the online name for the person who made the post is Evolved Fungi. That's the name, Evolved Fungi, and that was on Reddit. And it was talking about, it was raging against Donald Trump's policies and his statements, his executive orders, and out of that dark place of anger, maybe, it actually created a movement called 5051. Mm-hmm. That's 50501.
Yep.
And that it stands for 50 protests, 50 states, one movement. And mm-hmm. that, and their website, you can go to that. It's 50, the word 50 twice without a space, all lowercase, 5050.1. And you can go to their website and you can see where they stand for. But you'll also note that if you want any more information and you click on a pull-down menu, it's going to take you to the No Kings website. So this Evolved Fungi, I'm glad to know some fungi is getting better. But, okay, a little dig there. But is it an individual or is it a group of people funded by dark money to do stuff like this? I don't know. I'm just putting it out there. But it's all in response to Donald Trump. It comes out of the Trump derangement syndrome attitude that whatever he does, there's this group in the shadows. And they really, again, they don't want their leadership to be obvious. They hide that.
It doesn't take a genius, though, to go through their money and see who they're funded by,
yeah.
though. So it is controlled.
It's dark money.
Yes.
A lot of dark money. Going there, so we that much we can
well,
say.
Well, I also heard that it's not only coming from within the United States; it's also coming
elsewhere.
Elsewhere from outside.
Follow the money. Do your own research. Do your own research.
But the ultimate purpose of this is to create unrest and discomfort, and even a certain measure of terror in the American people, for the purpose of casting Donald Trump and his decisions, his policies, in a bad light and making people afraid of him. So out of this now, the 50501, No Kings, the No Kings movement was born. And I'm going to say this is going to sound very flippant, and I don't really mean it to be that, but as if to say, if you think of the genesis of these movements that are against Donald Trump. If Donald Trump decided that he wanted to walk on stilts, there would be a group that would immediately emerge.
Absolutely.
That would be against tall people.
No, that's part
of
my notes.
That's the whole genesis.
Their whole agenda, the
I've
Democrats,
never heard that before.
Their whole agenda, the Democrats, is just to take a stand against Trump.
Right.
It's like, what do you stand for? All they talk about is against Trump, whatever he does. And if your heart is against Trump like that, you need to check your heart, because why do you have such hatred towards an individual? And this is a spiritual war.
This is spiritual. And, you know,
yes.
I just, I, I can't say for certain because I wasn't there when Trump received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. But he talks about Jesus Christ being his Lord and Savior. So yeah. I've heard him say that. I've heard him say that we all need God. We all need Jesus. And I've heard him say that. So this is where within the church, if you're not looking at President Trump as a brother in Christ, mm-hmm. then this is maybe where we need to check our heart.
Yeah. And to look beyond the rhetoric. Look beyond the rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to these websites, they'll tell you exactly why they exist.
Mm-hmm.
Look past what they're saying. Look deeper into the why. The state, this is from the No Kings website,
mm-hmm.
why they're mobilizing. This is on June 14th. They're mobilizing all across America. There are three reasons. Well, they say President Trump thinks his rule is absolute, but in America we don't do kings. Now, right away, those are assumptions. Trump never said that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, it would be like, okay, we're talking about Trump. Maybe you're a little ambivalent. Let's say we're talking about you, listener, and we knew you enough about your life and your activities and your interests, and we didn't like you, and so we wanted to pick something that was obvious that you were doing that we could speak against. That wouldn't be too hard for anybody. You know, I drive a Honda. Okay, I'm willing to say that. My wife drives one, too. So people are anti-Japanese. You know, that. But the first thing is, oh, he drives a Honda. He's sending all of his money to Japan. Now, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, both Hondas were made in America by American workers. But the point is that we easily, evil gets us easily to buy into belief systems that are based on untruth.
Untruth. Well, yeah, and you know, I just think there's a misconception because for them to be calling President Trump a king and that he has full authority over everything, don't forget, President Biden signed 186 executive orders that he put over and he just signed them. They became presidential law, right? Presidential
without legal without, law,
right?
Legal challenge.
So there was no riots in the streets when President Biden was signing an executive order. So why is there a riot in the streets when President Trump is signing an executive order?
Because the enemy is rearing its ugly head, and it's a spiritual war.
Now, just one thing while you're on this, David, because President Biden is the one that said, I'm not paying attention to the Supreme Court, when the Supreme Court denied President Biden to eliminate the college.
Electoral college?
The payback. The debt. Yeah, he freed up the debt from the colleges. Supreme Court said it was against the law. He said, I don't care. He did that.
Oh, you're talking about the student loans.
Student loans. Thank you. Right. I couldn't spit that out.
He's trying to get the government to pay back the student loans, defying the courts, is what you're saying.
Right. He defied the courts.
Anyway.
So
yeah.
where is the rioting there? Nobody did it.
Well. Because also a lot of this country thinks they're so privileged and entitled for so many things.
Well,
but anyway,
right.
Yeah.
We're not going to.
And it's not the government's job to fund, you know, your schooling. It's not the government's job to give you all these benefits. Because, some benefits, yeah, but stop crying.
President Biden did these things, and there was no uprising about what he was doing. But since President Trump is trying to bring about truth and law, there's an uprising.
Yeah.
It's very much like the...
Right, Ezekiel 7:15, David.
Yeah.
It says, there is fighting in the streets and sickness and hunger in the house.
Yeah.
Ezekiel 7:23. Everything is in confusion. The land is full of murderers and the cities are full of violence. And that's mm-hmm. what's going on in the cities. That's what's going on in the cities.
That concerns all of us here.
Yeah. No King's Day was June 14th, as David said, and there were protests all over the country. First of all, I want to say that some of these protests resulted in violence. And in Salt Lake City, there was an innocent bystander at the demonstration in downtown Salt Lake City that was shot and killed. Mm-hmm. So there's violence. But I want to say in our home state of Florida, there was none. There was no violence. It was peaceful.
Yes.
So we don't disagree with people because of the First Amendment, they're allowed to take a stand.
Yes,
but they want to rile up and be violent. You know what I mean? They don't want to be just peaceful. Do you know what I mean?
And even when people are exercising the First Amendment rights, which I encourage them to do.
Yes.
But
they're allowed
to
do
what
that.
They're saying is based on lies, this is where, again, the church has to get involved and speak the
and
truth.
And call out the lies of
call
no kings.
Call out the lies.
Call out the lies. But they can protest all they want, but then we as a church are going to come up right behind them and be like, what you're feeding the crowd is all lies. Here, I want to read something that I saw on Facebook. They say no king, so they don't want. They say Trump is king. First of all, Jesus Christ is Lord and King.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
But he is the elected person that we as a country have put in. They say this: no kings. But this is what they've said: no kings, but put your mask on. No kings, but lock us down. No kings, but I'm firing you for not vaccinating, which happened to me, as you guys know.
Yes.
No kings, but you can't go outside. No kings, but we don't accept your exemption. No kings, but you need 12,380 boosters. I mean, it's so hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
I could go on. It's so hypocritical. Wake up, right? I'm sorry, but people need to wake
up.
No,
that's okay. Because this is the truth of God is the truth of God.
Mm-hmm.
And where once I was blind, now I see. And I'm so grateful and thankful for the Lord for delivering me from what my situation was before I knew Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And life was selfish, egotistical. Life was it's about what I want. It's about what, you know, and listening to the wrong message. To the wrong message. And Colossians 2:8, it says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ.
Amen.
I like that verse. I also, you know, we talked on our phone call yesterday. The title of this show is a biblical response. So how do we biblically respond? We're in the Word of God, because Keith brings up all the scripture. David, here's another scripture I want to bring up. And if we're not in the Word of God, we can be deceived.
Yes.
Because it's the truth inside of us that will dictate and that will cause us to think the way the Lord wants us to think. One psalm I love is Psalm 37.
Okay.
So when I was praying, I'm like, let's tell our viewers, listeners, meditate on Psalm 37, verses 1 and 2, because we may have some of our listeners who are in fear right now. But Psalm 37, verses 1 and 2, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. And then Psalm 37, verses 7 and 8, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. So we just have to stand at peace.
Trust God. And
we need to pray for them, right?
Right. Well,
yes.
We need to pray for them.
And that's why we're out to share. That's why we're out here to share
the
good news of salvation of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So, you know, I was out on the street yesterday. Today's what? Tuesday. I was out on the street yesterday. And man, did this guy not want to hear a word.
Mm-hmm.
Leave me alone. Get out. You know, just when you talk about angry, just hearing about Jesus for salvation. When you talk about angry.
Yeah.
That's sad.
And, you know, our job is to share salvation for eternity, because if you don't believe in eternity, you're in trouble. If you don't believe in eternity,
because you are going somewhere.
Because
you
are
die.
Going somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, Jesus came and delivered us from our sins, and that is the message that we try and speak here in love.
Yes. Yeah. I also want to say we need to pray for those who disagree with us, right?
Yes, always.
And there's a great organization, and I don't know if you both know it, but it's called Intercessors for America. And the website is ifapray.org. I would urge people who are listening to go to Intercessors for America website, ifapray.org. And you could sign up for their updates. And they have times where you could pray. We could pray as a group for different, you know, they sent something yesterday, I believe, because what's happening with Iran and Israel, it's you know, President Trump had to leave the summit. Did you guys hear about this yesterday?
Yes,
he left halfway through the G7. Mm-hmm. And so then they send out alerts to all those who signed up. And it's like, okay, we have this time. We need to pray. So if you want to join in prayer with other fellow believers, and let's say you don't know anybody who to pray with, go to ifapray.org. That's a way to biblically respond.
Amen.
Okay.
We don't respond in anger or violence. Right, Keith?
No. We are passionate about the gospel.
We have to be passionate, yes.
And if you're hearing, you hope you're hearing that.
Well, I was in my car one time, and I'm going to tell you, somebody put hands on me, and nobody was around, pulled me back into my car. So, because there was an incident on the road, and, talk about getting upset.
Yeah.
And when I say that I got pulled back into my car, and there was nobody there except somebody pulling me back into my car.
Yeah, that was divine intervention.
That was divine intervention.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So and it's a learning lesson.
Yeah.
It's a learning lesson on our journeys, with Jesus.
Amen.
So we don't change overnight. We change on the road, you know? We change as we travel on the road in the journey.
In the sanctification process.
In the sanctification process. And that's what's amazing.
Amen.
We're going to slip to a break right now. And we're going to say if you may want to call, you're welcome to call and have a comment or a question. The number is 772-221-1100. It's the station number 772-221-1100. The break is about 2 minutes and 38 seconds, or 58 seconds. So if you call during the break, we'll put you on hold and have you when we come back. And just the other thing I want to say is that we mentioned it earlier, the only king in your life that you need is Jesus.
Amen. Nobody's lifted higher than Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Just to see your face. to be who I am. Some people said, no way.
And welcome back to the A Biblical Response. This is David Frankour here, your kind of moderator, host, whatever, and I have my two of the three wonderful teammates on this program, Ann Lomhoko and Keith Masters. We continue to keep Stephanie in prayer as she travels,
mm-hmm.
and she's carrying her ministry where God has sent her, and so we're excited about that. So we're coming back. You still have time to call if you want to make a call, 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. We'd love to hear from someone who's never called before.
Yeah.
And have them
listen to some
there.
New callers.
Yeah.
Maybe a person who just
finger
forgot.
Poised over those buttons on your phone or whatever. Ready
the
to
Lord
just
puts
give us,
it on their heart.
Yeah, yeah, Lord puts it on your heart. Give us a call. So we're going to move on
scared.
To another point.
Don't be scared.
Don't be scared.
We don't bite,
don't
right?
We don't bite.
I'm scared, Norton.
I love that. So was Ann, do you want to pick up the thread here?
So we spent the first three quarters of the program talking about no kings and then basically what's happening with no kings. And we also reiterated the reason why the Lord gave us the idea to start this program. But we want to, for the 15 minutes we have left, I wanted to bring up a subject I don't know if our listeners have heard about, but basically there was great feuding on Twitter between Simone Biles. And I don't know if people know Simone Biles. She's an Olympic medalist, a very, very popular Olympic medalist, 11-time Olympic medalist. And then Riley Gaines. And she's a 12-time NCAA All-American swimmer from the University of Kentucky. And there was a big spat on Twitter between the two. Riley has become a very avid activist because after what happened at the NCAA championships in 2022, she was swimming and there was a trans identifying male swimmer, Leah Thomas, who swam at the same time.
Yep, we got a call.
And we're going to take a call.
Yep. Caller, you're on the air.
David, Ann, and Keith, I just first of all want to thank you for taking on this subject. It obviously is a real situation where we as believers in the church have to rise up with a passion and also compassion. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sometimes a challenge for people that just want to kind of look the other way, but I don't know if it's just because of being from New England, just that it stirs in me, my patriotism.
Mm.
But I wanted to just make a comment that I was watching a YouTube interview that Dr. Phil was doing with Tom Holman. And the point he brought out was that what they are really trying to do is they're not coming against the protesters per se. It's the violence and the antagonistic ideology of coming and causing an interruption of
mm-hmm.
what
mm-hmm.
they're necessary to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to say that as believers, we need to pray for the ICE personnel because
yes.
they're afraid for their lives and
yes.
their families.
Yeah, great point, Anne-Marie.
You know, that's a point.
And also just that, you know, being someone who's been on foreign soil, I find it very ironic that the flags that they're just waving in the name of
mm-hmm.
no kings, they're doing on American soil where
mm-hmm.
people have been, you know, shed blood for our freedom. And we know that as those that have veterans and their families.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have people come from other countries and think they have the same rights. And that's quite ironic. And yet you
yeah.
still have compassion from a man that has that position by the people and by the leader of our country, our president, and he's still doing the job, but yet he's being compassionate and very respectful to those that he takes in. And that was just my comment.
Mm, great.
Thank you, for
thank you
Anne-Marie.
Anne-Marie. Always
thank you
appreciate
so
hearing
much.
From you, dear.
Yeah, thank you.
God bless you.
And that's, those are words to really.
Yeah, we need. That's a good reminder. We need to pray for ICE.
We must.
Yeah.
And all of our first, yesterday on the front line, we had Chaplain, Martin County Fire Rescue Chaplain, Haas Wiggins with us. But it always, whenever we have him, we think broadly of first responders.
Yeah.
Because they're always going to the problem. They're
yeah,
running
they're
to
running
the danger
to it
when everybody's running away. And that's understandable, but that's their heart.
Yeah.
And yet today, in these days, Mm-hmm. And I think 9/11 probably was the underscores that from that day forward, mm-hmm. it's been so much more dangerous for first responders.
And we want to pray for all of them.
And we pray for all of them. So, listener, please add them daily to your prayer list. Back to you.
Okay. So really quickly, I was talking about the social media spat on Twitter between Simone Biles and Riley Gaines. And Riley Gaines has become an activist after she was unfairly treated in the 2022 NCAA championships and tied with a swimmer who is competing as a woman but was actually a biological male. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners know of Riley Gaines. But anyway, there was clashing going on. It started on June 6th because Riley Gaines made a comment. The Minnesota State High School League just celebrated their first softball state championship win. And she commented on the win because the person who was the pitcher, and I'm looking at Keith because Keith has a son who's in baseball, it was a girls' championship, and it was a male pitcher.
I saw that.
And pitched a shutout.
I saw that.
And Riley Gaines replies on X to the comment that said that they're celebrating their first softball state championship. She goes, comments off, LOL, to be expected when your star player is a boy. And then you have Simone Biles, who just unleashed a lot of personal attacks against Riley Gaines. It was all over social media. It was dictating the news. She says to Gaines's post, straight up sore loser and bully. And then she says, you're truly sick. All of this campaigning because you lost a race. Biles wrote, you should be uplifting the trans community and perhaps finding a way to make sports inclusive or creating a new avenue where trans feel safe in sports. Maybe a transgender category in all sports. It got ugly. Did you guys see this?
I didn't follow every thread, no.
Yeah. So basically, Biles gets really, really mean. And it got ugly. And it's very interesting because 4 days later, she released an apology. But it took her 4 days. Mm-hmm. And a lot of her teammates on the team, you know, she was on the Olympic team just the past Olympics, said it's because she's probably going to be losing funding. And mm-hmm. also she's coming out with the Netflix special. And didn't want to lose sponsors from that or lose people from that. So it's just so sick how this issue is so clear that either you're a man or a woman. And yes, we do have compassion for those who may feel that they have these feelings. But for trans women to compete as men or, you know, trans men to compete as women, it's wrong. It's completely wrong. And we as Christians need to stand up and speak that it's wrong, and that's what Riley Gaines been doing.
The whole truth that for as long as I can remember, that men and women's sports have been separate for a reason, and it's not to be it's not to degrade one or the other, it's not to lift up one over the other, but there are actual physiological differences.
The Lord has made us.
The Lord has made us, and so that men are generally we're going to be stronger. And most in many situations, it's not that women and men can't compete in some venues, but where you have the demarcation between genders in sports, there's a reason for that, and that is so that those who are men and those who are women can compete in equal environments of competition, where you're competing against people that for instance, and because of men, it's just genetic, it's just how we're made. Women, that's just how you're made.
Yeah.
We're glad for the difference. But if not me, okay, I'm not going to compete in anything. Maybe a hot dog eating contest. But the point is that if I were a male athlete in my teens or 20s, and I decided, that I wanted to compete with, they would be no competition if I went into women's sports. Not really.
Right.
It's such an obvious issue. Charlie Kirk calls it a 90-10 issue because even a lot of Democrats are agreeing with Riley Gaines that we should separate the men and the biological men with the biological men and the biological women with the biological women.
Right.
What do you have to say, Keith? Itching.
LifeSite News.
Yeah.
LifeSite News says, which is June is supposed to be that they've made up to be a Pride Month.
Yeah.
Where they got that idea. Just to try and show everybody, You know, to expose it is really what they're trying to do. They're trying to shove it in your face. But Pride Month apparently openly embraces the devil, and parents must protect their kids. And this is from an article from, I think, a couple of weeks ago. I don't have the date here, but we talked about this,
yeah,
I think, on a couple of programs ago, mm-hmm, about LifeSite News. And the shirts, that the apparel that it had,
yeah,
with the devil on the shirt itself, right, mm-hmm, with the upside-down rainbow. And the quote here is, isn't this incredible? And this is, you know, this, right, this program is the biblical response. And this is what they're trying to, this is what they're trying to promote. And I'm sorry, but we have to
call
stand up against it,
yeah,
right, and call it out for what it is. It's an abomination to God. It's an abomination. It's a complete abomination. God said one man, one woman, and to try and open the eyes of the people that are enveloped in the grasp of the enemy, of the devil, because that's what this is. And it says, isn't this incredible? Now we're seeing the LGBT pride movement openly embrace the devil. Mm-hmm. And if they're going to be open, we're going to be open against them.
We're going to fight
back. That's right. We've got to fight back.
And also, because we don't have much time left, we have to tell our listeners how to biblically respond.
Yeah.
I did some research, and it's 46% of transgender and non-binary young people. Do you know they've seriously considered attempting suicide?
Mm-hmm.
They are lost. We need to pray for those that, yes, are transgender, who are LGBTQ, and we need to pray for them. But we're not going to agree with that lifestyle. The Bible is very clear,
yes,
right?
Yes.
The Bible is very clear, but we pray for them and we have compassion for them.
Right.
But we pray for their salvation.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
We
to
have
that.
To do that. We must do,
right,
that. And that's always going to be our encouragement to you, listener, is to pray. And if you're, and frankly, you know, if you're hearing all this and saying, I don't know about that, you know, I don't, or go to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And use your concordance to find specific references, but the Bible makes it clear from God's viewpoint there is no gender fluidity.
Mm-mm.
He made them male and female. He made them. That's,
yeah,
it. Two genders, and he made the males and females to be married to each other, not to be males and female, not male and male, female and female.
But the only way we procreate is with male and female.
Well, I'm going to put in a quick plug for Jonathan Cahn's book, The Rise of the Gods, because it's in that book that he talks about, explains why in our culture today we have all of these concerns, because Israel struggled with these same demonic presences.
They did.
In their day. Same demons,
yeah,
masquerading as God figures. And exactly what they did is we're doing it again, because our culture, not knowing God, has embraced the demonic. And that's just a truth. And it's not a truth, it's the truth, by the way.
I just want to give kudos to the Dodgers pitcher, Clayton Kershaw, because the Dodgers had a pride night, and they had to wear these hats with rainbows on it. And then he puts a scripture on the hat, and he puts Genesis 9 through 12 through 16, because he is telling you the real reason why the rainbow was created. And
mm-hmm,
it's because it's God's symbol of his,
yes,
promise.
Right.
It's not the LGBTQ,
right,
symbol. It's God's symbol.
From Noah.
Yes.
Right? After the rain.
It's the Noahic covenants.
Right.
It's,
that's
their,
right,
logo.
Look at him biblically responding. We,
yeah,
have to do that.
That's,
we,
right,
have to.
Yeah. That's right.
We have to.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm,
yeah,
sure we have a lot of people still struggling. You know,
that's,
I'm
okay,
glad. Thank you for,
but
still,
continue
listening.
Continue hanging on.
Hang,
yeah,
in there.
Yeah.
And know that. And here, know this.
And pray and ask the Lord what we're talking about.
Trust God. You know, I have found in my role as a pastor and in dealing with people that have issues and they're struggling with what's going on around them, is they're not rooted in the word of God. They don't know God. They may go to church and you know, that's great. Go to church, but listen, go to the Bible studies. Get a Bible. For you. A lot of Christians don't even own a Bible, or it's,
yeah,
stuck on a shelf somewhere.
Yeah.
Get back to the word of God, because at the end of the day, you can give God all your fears and all your anxieties that are coming to you from the demonic activity in the culture you're living in and in the world you're living in. Go to God and do that.
You're not right. Jesus is real.
He is real.
And when you come to Jesus, all of a sudden he becomes alive.
Amen.
And he comes alive. He does. He comes alive in your spirit. But he man, he just shows you things, and he talks to you, and he blesses you.
Yeah.
And I mean, some of the things my jaw drops.
Yeah.
Right.
I hate to cut in there.
Go ahead. Yeah.
But time is up. Thank you for listening. We'll be back. Actually, next week we'll have a backup program. I'll be out of town. But listen in anyway.
After, please come in.
Yeah, we'll listen in anyway. Maybe you missed it the first time. God bless.